Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's start this evening over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Word of God? You know, the Word is so rich. There's just so much in the Word. You know, I know that, you know, even when I read a lot of Brother Jerry's books, you know, I like books that have bold, you know how you go to a chapter and then there's a bold heading and then you go to another bold heading. Well, I like to read in between, of course, the bold headings, but then take your time with that. You know, I hear people say things like, oh yeah, I read that book last night. Well, you didn't get it. You read the whole book in one night, you really didn't get it, you know. So I like to read between the bold and then meditate just on that section, you know, and then one section at a time and just meditate on it and get it in your heart. Amen. Well, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, I guess I should have told you what verse. Verse 16, he says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. So he says that we recognize no one according to the flesh. Okay, so when it comes to recognizing no one according to the flesh, I think it should start with us, me, myself, that I should not recognize myself anymore according to the flesh. That flesh is the old dead man that passed away when Jesus became Lord of my life. And like the Apostle Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. That old man is crucified with Christ. And I don't want to be known anymore according to that flesh. But I want to be known to myself as that new creature in Christ. Isn't that right? And what I know about me is what's going to determine how I'm going to act, how I'm going to think. You know, when you pop up those things on YouTube, you may not look at those things if you think and remember, I'm a new creature in Christ. You know, all this kind of stuff that's always going around, there's so many opportunities. I mean, on the iPhone, on the tablet, on all kinds of devices. You know, you get smart TVs that are loaded with apps. You can pull up all kinds of junk. And you know how it is, even on your tablet, you know, you could be doing something and something pops up and you didn't even want it to pop up, but boom, it just pops up. And you know, I shouldn't be looking at that pop up. But then you justify and go, well, let me see what this is really about. Well, you're going down the wrong road. See, so it's important to remember who you are. You're not that old flesh, that old man. You're a new creature in Christ, and that should determine how you act. Isn't that right? Because the Bible says, as a man thinks within himself, so he is or so he acts. You know, it's not only what we do, but it's also how we do. Okay? A man says, eat and drink. That's what he says. That's what he's doing. Come, eat and drink. That's what he does. But his heart's not with you. That's how he's acting. That's how he is. What he's doing is altogether different than how he's doing it. Okay? So, eat and drink. Friendly. Sure, come on. But his heart's not with you. So, resentment is really how he's acting. It don't look that way, but inside, that's how he's acting. He resents you being there. Job is a good example. He sacrificed for his kids all the time, remember? Well, why did he do that? Because he was afraid they might have cursed God in their heart, right? So what he did was right. What he did was he made sacrifices for his children. That was right. But how he did it in fear. And that was wrong. Now, neither person receives reward for what they did. They receive for how they did. The how you did it is the gold, silver, precious stones, or the wood, hay, and stubble. It's not what you do, because everybody can do good and everybody doesn't look good in front of everybody. You know, around certain people, you want to be like really good. You want to talk good. You want to act good around certain people. But when they're not around, the how really does come out more. Hello. Don't shout me down. Are you with me? So you don't receive reward for what we do. We receive reward for how we do. When you speak to somebody, how do you speak to them? Are you speaking to them just with sugary, flowery words, but your heart is just like you're just disconnected and don't even want to be bothered? Or is the how lining up with the what? Of course, you get judged by your words, not the what, but the how. Right? And it's not that God judges you. God's not judging you. Your own words judge you. You sow and you reap. You sow the how and you reap accordingly. Right? Because what? The how comes out from us. And that's what we reap from. Amen. So it's very important to remember who we are. If I remember who I am, I'll know how to act. I won't click on that YouTube video. I won't click on that Facebook thing. In fact, I'm going to set it up to where I don't get that kind of stuff on my device. Amen. The completion of a renewed mind in any area of our life is shown in our actions in how we do things. Offering up our body not to do what it wants, like it tells us in Romans 12:1, offer it up as a living sacrifice. Isn't that right? Offer up those desires and those passions, that when that thing pops up and you're like, and not letting it do what it's supposed to do. And then you go over to your settings and go, I don't want to see those kind of videos. Huh? Amen. See, it's about walking by the influence of your inner man on your soul instead of walking by that old dead soul, that old dead flesh that's still in the soul that you were delivered out from. Right? Getting our soul and our spirit in harmony. See, that's where real life is. Our soul and our spirit comes into agreement and it's in harmony. And then we can take the flesh and put it under godly control. Godly control. Godly control is a lot different than human control, demonic control, and worldly control. You want godly control. All right? Because there is human control. You know, people try to control people. People try to control decisions other people make. People try to control conversations and only want it to go in a certain way because they don't want to talk about other things. There's lots of control that goes on and manipulation that goes on. But that's not godly control. Maybe I'll teach on that sometime. The telltale signs of control. No? Okay. But it's all about growth and development, growing our soul, you know, growing that soul and getting it into agreement with things that are in our spirit. And it's one area of life at a time. It's a process to offer up our body and not fulfill its desires, right? You know, our emotions or the moods, you know, we have moods, don't we? Our moods are the barometer of the inner man's influence in our life. Moods are the barometer of the inner man's influence in our life. Well, I had a bad day, so I'm really in a bad mood. Well, you have no influence then from your spirit. Yeah. You're letting your soul control you. You're letting the day control you. And that mood is showing your inner man don't have influence on you.
That's good. Yes.
It's like we always said, you never had a bad day. You never had one of those days. The day had you. And you gave yourself to it, and you didn't have control from your inner man. You know, the scripture says what? Rejoice always. No matter what's going on in the day, rejoice always. Two little words, but they're not easy, are they? It takes work. Amen. Amen. So emotions and moods are the barometer of the inner man's influence in our life. We can do things in faith, or we can do things in a fearful frenzy. You know, and I've told you about this when we were going to Thailand, and we used to go every year, and we'd go over to do conventions, and we'd go for about 2 weeks and do conventions in Thailand, and always before we leave, you know, I'd have to take a week or so and get things ready, because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, so you got to get things prepared down the road so that when you're gone, everything is handled. So this one time we're getting ready, and it's just like, oh, I'm trying to get everything done. And this fellow that I know calls me and says, I've just finished writing my book. Can you read it for me within the next few days? And I'm like, do I have time for this? You know, and I'm getting really frenzied over this whole thing of trying to get everything together before we leave. And of course, what do you do when you get frenzied? You cry out to God, oh God, oh God. You know, and you know how God is. You don't let you get away with anything. He said, the only problem is you're being frenzied instead of being in faith. You're walking in the frenzy and not in faith. So I was in fear that I couldn't get everything done, and the fear creates the frenzy. Whenever you're in a frenzy, your foundation of frenzy is fear. And it's not faith, because faith would keep you settled. So I had to make that switch. So my emotions and my moods was in control, and my inner man didn't have influence until God said, get out of the frenzy and get into faith. You can be in anger, or you can be in self-control. You can be in worry, or you can be in peace. You can be walking in bitterness, or you could be walking in kindness. You can want to quit, or you can be enduring, right? You could be boastful, or you can be humble. Moods, emotions, the barometer, what's influencing our life. And like I said, it's a growth process. It doesn't change overnight, but being aware of it is very important, because you can make decisions, and when those moods start going in the wrong direction, you'll hear those words. It's the barometer of your inner man's influence. Is your inner man influencing your life, or is that mood influencing your life?
That's good, yes.
Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. He says, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay? By the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body. See, your soul needs to stop fighting with your flesh. And your soul needs to start joining up with the Spirit by the Word of God. You get the Word of God in you and start putting that Word in you, it will empower you. And you won't have to fight the flesh, you'll be empowered to stand against it. But you got to get the Spirit in harmony with the soul for that to happen. So you don't need to be fighting. You need to be just taking hold of the Word of God, and the Word of God will empower you. Isn't that right? So stop fighting the flesh and start joining in with the Spirit by the Word of God. By the Spirit, you are putting to death or mortifying the deeds of the body. You cannot cast out what you need to mortify. You need to mortify. I need to mortify. You need to put the deeds to death of your flesh, and I need to put the deeds of my flesh to death. Not cast it out. Mortify it. Take the Word of God and control that thing. Empower yourself to walk above it. Amen. Are you with me? Look, back up to Romans 7 and verses 22 to 25. The Apostle Paul here is talking. And in Romans 7, verse 22 to 25, he says, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. You know, your inner man joyfully concurs. Man, your inner man is joyful over the things of God. Your flesh ain't so happy about it. You know why? Because if you're living by the flesh, you must die. And the flesh would just as soon kill you than to live by the things of God. The flesh is not happy about the things of God. The flesh is so arrogant and proud, it hates to submit to anything and anybody, even God. Yep. True. And it has to be controlled. Amen. But in your spirit, the new being, the new creature in Christ, you joyfully concur with the things of God. The inner man just feeds on the things of God. It just receives life from the things of God. I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law. Okay? So, There's one law in our members, and there's one law in our inner man, within our spirit. Verses 24 and 25. He says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Well, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. So my flesh doesn't want to do the things God wants me to do, but out of my spirit and my soul in agreement, I'm serving the law of God. But then I can control my flesh. Isn't that right? So I'm joyfully concurring with the law of God in my inner man, and I'm moving that agreement out of with my spirit. My spirit's in agreement with the things of God, and I got to move that agreement over into my soul. And that comes by the renewing of the mind. And as my soul gets restored, it will be in harmony with the human spirit. So when that thing pops up on YouTube, you won't have to go, you'll say, get rid of that thing. That's junk. I'm not looking at that garbage.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's just too much pornography in the body of Christ. I'll just tell you that right up front. Too much of it. And that's because the soul is not in control and in agreement with the things of the spirit. They're still living by the old man. Amen. But if I let my soul and allow my soul to get restored and be in harmony with my human spirit, I'll walk in godly control over my body. You know, a lot of people think things like, well, just pray and everything will be okay. That would be nice. But I don't know if you've noticed, that don't work. You have to be empowered to mortify your own flesh. Now, is prayer important? Of course. Prayer helps you to stand. You know, Jesus said it this way, men ought to pray at all time, all time. Men ought to pray at all times. And through the many translations, it says, men should pray at all times and not lose heart, not grow weary, not turn coward and cave in. Prayer helps you to stand. But you're the one that has to make the stand. And you're the one that has to stand against your flesh. And you're the one that has to tell your flesh, no. No, you will not look at that. No, you will not talk about that. No, you will not act like that. No, we are not thinking about this. You're the one that has to do it. But prayer can help to strengthen you in those things. We have an individual responsibility, each one as an individual, to mortify and put to death the deeds of our body by and with the Spirit through the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now look at the person next to you. Leave them alone. You have enough to deal with on your own. Yeah. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Now, we've talked about this before, but it doesn't hurt to go through it again. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So again, he says, be restored or renewed in the spirit of your mind. And renewal takes place right where it says, in the spirit of your mind. So this is not a change of mind psychologically. It is not a superficial change of opinion. Well, I used to think that, but I don't think that anymore. It's not a change of opinion about doctrine or things that you do. But it's in the spirit of your mind that will give your mind both its bent and its material of thought. That your soul bends in a different direction than it used to bend, and it takes on a new material of thought. And that new material of thought, of course, is the Word of God that you get renewed to. Now, if you're not getting renewed to the Word of God, you're still going to think the same old way. Well, that's the way we've always thought. Well, that don't make it right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way Adam thought, so that's the way I think.
Yeah, right.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? No. The whole bend of your soul changes. Circumstances come up. Situations come up. People say things to you, and you used to bend in a certain direction. Maybe you used to bend into angry, but now you bend into self-control. Maybe you used to bend into bitterness, but now you bend into kindness. Because you have a new material of thought. Oh, look at the way they're acting. They're so rude. They're not treating me good. They're not even talking kind to me. But the bend and the new material thought is they're having a bad day.
That's good, yeah.
Boy, they need help. I tell you what, the way those people are acting, I'll tell you what they deserve. You see, that's a wrong bend right there. You're bending in the wrong direction. Because the bend is probably they're heathen. They're unbelievers. They need help. They need Jesus. No wonder they act like that. Guess what? If you weren't saved, you'd be right there in the group with them. Or maybe you are because you're judging.
Hello.
I mean, we want to complain about their actions, but then there's your actions of judging. Just saying. See, this is having a whole new way of operating and doing business in your inner mechanism. Everything inside of you changes. You don't think the same. And somebody was talking just the other day about when we first started the church and stories I used to tell about before I got saved. I can't even recall those. I mean, they didn't bring up what they were, but I was trying to think, what were those stories? I couldn't think of them because they're not a part of my life anymore. And unless it's a part of teaching or something, they don't come up. Because I don't care to think about them. And it's not a matter of conversation, because you don't want to hear about them. Are you with me? So again, the bend of the soul has to change. The material of thought has to change. The whole business of the inner mechanism changes because it's not about what I do, but how I do. That's why this has to change in here. The how has to change, not the what. Because anybody can make a decision. All right, here's an old story. Here's an old story. Now, when I was a teenager, okay, because of the way or the things I was involved in and the things that I did, when my parents would have people come over to the house, I would always be nice to them. I mean, I was just, you know, and everybody said, oh, you have just such a nice son and blah, blah, and all this other stuff, you see. Because of the what, I was acting so nice to everybody. But the how was, I might need a character reference someday, and I need you to stand up for me because we might be standing before the judge. And that was my whole reason for being nice to them. A problem with the how, I think.
That's why you need Jesus.
Yes, that's why I needed Jesus. So do you understand what I'm saying? The what and the how. The inner man has to change. The inner mechanisms of the soul and decision making and all has to change so that the how gets in line. Our values, our attitudes, our temperament, our personality, it all affects our lifestyle. It's the barometer of the influence of the inner man. How much is that inner man, that spirit man, affecting your life? Renewal will always take place under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will act on our human spirit and will affect our realm of thought. But like all thoughts, they need to be taken. Just because you get a thought doesn't mean you take it. You got to take the thought. In fact, go over to Proverbs 16 for a minute, verse 3, in the Amplified Bible. Let's look at it in the Amplified. Proverbs 16:3 in the Amplified. He says, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. All right, well, here's a work that we're talking about called renewal. You know, you can get into the realm of frenzy of trying to get renewed. But you can roll the works of that renewal over onto the Lord, commit them totally to him, do as you need to do by spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, and all of a sudden you'll find out your thoughts start to become agreeable with his will. Because the working of the Holy Spirit and influencing in your inner man starts to affect your realm of thought. Amen. Amen. So do as you need to do. You know, get into the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. But do so trusting God that he will do as he says. And listen to him. You have to listen to him. Okay? But you have to know where his voice comes from. You know, you don't have to turn over there, but 1 John 2:27 says, as he, the anointing, abides in you, so you should also abide in him. So we certainly know the anointing, the Holy Spirit, abides in us as a born-again believer, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. Mm-hmm. But how much do we abide in him? We have to abide in him. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. How much do we abide? Well, you know, he's in me, so I never leave him. Of course you do. You leave him in your thinking. You leave him in your actions. You leave him in pressing that thing on YouTube you shouldn't be pressing. You get involved in videos and stuff you shouldn't be looking at. Of course you left him. Don't shout me down. So how much are we abiding in him? As you see, and these are the kinds of things that has to become the focus of our life. I have to focus on these things and set myself, especially when I'm in the process of that change. I have to set myself on this. We want to restore our soul. God wants you to have a restored soul. Of course, just like your spirit, when you got born again, your spirit got born again and came back to the original condition of creation. Now, imagine your soul getting back into original condition. You know what your life would be like? I'll tell you how your life would be like. Nothing at all like what you're looking at right now. And although we have been restored to a point, we're nowhere near what it can be. Amen. So again, back in Ephesians 4, he said, to put off the old man, be restored in the spirit or renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. Okay? So to put on the new self, to put on means to sink into this. It means to go into it, to put it on. Okay? Just think about it. You know, your new man should be like quicksand that you just sink right into. You know, you sink right into that new man. That life. That new life that God's given to you, you sink into that new life. You go into it as far as you can go. Get away from the fence and get into that life as far as you can go. But you'll never go any place if you don't do it through the Word of God. It's only through the Word of God that you can go. If you don't spend any time in the Word of God, you're not going any place. Entering into it and putting it on as a garment to clothe yourself and dress yourself in this new man. Okay? Y'all, you came to church tonight, right? Well, before you left your house, did you get dressed?
Oh, yes.
Okay? Did you purposely get dressed, or did you just throw on anything? You're not going to Walmart, so you didn't just throw on anything. Let's, I hope you don't go to Walmart like that. But you purposely put on something, right? Well, the Word of God here is telling us what to purposely put on and put it on at all times. Put on the new man. When you get up in the morning, make sure you put on the new man. Before you get around people, make sure you've put on the new man. Before you operate anything during the day, make sure you've put on the new man. Don't walk around naked. Put on the new man. The one that's newly existed, the new creation, unlike anything else that's ever existed before. You have a new outfit, and the new outfit you have is the best clothes that's available. All you have to do is put it on. Amen. You know, when I first got born again, and I realized that my life was wrong, and I started coming to church, and the church was full of people. The church was full of people unlike anybody that I ever knew. I never hung around anybody like church people. Okay? The way that I lived, church people would never have been my friends. So when I came to church, I saw everybody was different. I came to church with my blue jeans on, my sandals, and a Keep On Trucking t-shirt. That's pretty much all I owned, unless I had my Boone's Farm shirt on. That's pretty much it. I had long hair, you know, and sometimes I had a big old bushy beard. But nobody in church looked like me. So I changed the way I dressed. But it wasn't because I was trying to look like everybody else or trying to act like everybody else or trying to show that I was like everybody else. I changed the way I dressed because I knew changing the way I dressed will change the way I thought about myself. That every time I looked at myself and I'm dressed differently than I used to be, I'd say, that's the new creature. I'm brand new. Things aren't like what they used to be. My life is changing. So that's all that the clothing was about. It wasn't about trying to make a statement or anything like that. It was what I needed for myself because I knew I needed to see myself different. And I couldn't see my spirit, but I could see the outward. So I had to see things outwardly to remind me about what happened inwardly. That I would not see myself as the old man, but see myself as the new man. And if I could see myself as the new man, then I would remind myself continually, you have to act new. You got to take on a new way of life. You've got to get into that word and find out what this new life is about. Now, in order to change the way that I dressed and things like that, it took some money. And my wife introduced me to Goodwill. I found me a Joe Namath three-piece suit that fit me perfectly for $3, $1 a piece. We had our wedding, renewed our vows in my suit. Amen. And you know what? Nobody ever came up to me and said, oh, we noticed you changed different. Oh, we noticed you look different. Oh, we noticed that your clothes are different. Oh, we noticed you comb your hair different. Nobody ever said anything like that. And you know what? I didn't care because I didn't do it for that reason. It had nothing to do with any of that. It wasn't about being noticed. I did it because I needed to do it for me. Nobody needed to notice. A new way of dressing reminded me continually of a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, like a new man. Now, maybe you didn't need to do that. Or maybe you did, but you refused to. And maybe because you refused to, it took you a longer time to change the way you thought. Maybe it took you longer because you were like, oh, I'm not going to change. And I knew somebody like this. I'm just going to tell you this. I knew somebody like this, and they had long hair, like I had long hair. And God dealt with them about cutting their hair. And somebody in the church said, you know, so-and-so should cut their hair. And they said, well, I'm not going to cut my hair because they're going to think that I'm cutting my hair because they said so. So they never cut their hair. And that wasn't too long before they bit the dust. They refused to cut their hair, and yet God told them. What the heck do we care what anybody thinks if God told us? Amen. You know, God told me to get my eyes taken care of. And I got my eyes taken care of. And I can see really good now. I had two great revelations once I got my eyes fixed. I looked in the mirror and I said, what in the world happened to you? was my first revelation. My second revelation was I'm married to a 40-year-old. I'm like, hey, this is good. You know, if God tells you to do something, you do it. You know, and I don't know, maybe somebody would have said something about the way that I dressed when I went to church. I don't know. I never paid attention to anything. I was kind of like out there someplace, but I just wanted to do what God wanted me to do. So again, you know, maybe you needed to do that, but you refused to, and you didn't want to. You didn't want to conform, so you had a hard road to change. But I changed. I did what I felt like that I needed to do. I changed inside when I got saved, and I changed the outside to continually remind me to walk by the new man and continually to renew my mind. And it helped me to get my spirit and my soul in harmony. You got to do what you need to do. When it comes to anything with the things of God, you have to do what you need to do to get it right. You know, we talked about Jerry Seville earlier, you know, and when he would sit down to read the Word of God and he'd fall asleep and he'd say, oh man, this is not good. I can't fall asleep when I read. So what he did was he stood on the edge of his bathtub and read the Word. You ain't falling asleep when you're standing on the edge of your bathtub. If you do, you're going to hurt yourself. See, you do what you have to do what needs to be done. If you don't do what you need to do to get things done, it will never get done. You'll still be sitting here 10 years from now waiting for it to get done, but it's not done because you won't do what you need to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created. In the likeness of God. The Amplified says you've been created like God. After his likeness. Okay? You've been created in the likeness of God in righteousness. The word righteousness very simply means right standing. You had the imputed righteousness of God so that you as a spirit man can stand before God. And righteousness means that which is just, and it comes from him who is just, and he is right. I don't know if you know that. He's always right.
Yeah, he is.
He's always right. Yes. You know? And because righteousness has to do with justice and righteousness, Psalm 106 says, blessed is the man that keeps justice and walks in righteousness. That's the blessed man. He keeps justice and walks in righteousness. And it says that he's created in righteousness, the righteousness of God. And he says in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Okay? Holiness of the truth. The word truth means the reality that pertains to an appearance. In other words, the how, not just the what, but the how. The how is the truth of the situation, not the what. So come, eat and drink. That's the what. But the how is the truth of the situation. His heart's not with you. See, that's the truth of the situation. Now, if he says, come eat and drink, and his heart is with you, and he does want you, and he's for you, then the truth and the action lines up. The how and the what are in agreement, and that's what makes the action truth. If he says, come eat and drink, but his heart not with you, then he's living a lie. The how and the what has to line up. That's what makes it truth. It's the reality that lies at the basis of an appearance. That's the truth. And holiness is very simply manifested in the discharge of duties in religious and social life. The discharge of duties in religious and social life. It is dedication and it's consecration. It's living pleasing to God. See, when you get renewed in the spirit of your mind, it affects the spirit of what you do, the how, and the conduct, the what. It affects both. That you will do the what, which is right, but you will have the how, the attitude, and the spirit of it will be right. Okay? And that's the holiness of the truth. And this person is one that is joined in fellowship with God. Not just somebody that's saved, born again, This is somebody in fellowship with God. He's learning God's ways. You know, I've seen, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but I've seen Christians hold up flags that actually cusses President Biden. That is disgusting. How dare you? You say, well, he's not really the president. I don't care if he's the man in the moon. That's not how Christians act. I drive down the road. I see that. I hate that stuff. It's not a spirit of holiness. There's right, and then there's right. The creation of the new man in the divine likeness realizes itself in something better than just ceremonial moral behavior of the Jew or self-contained virtue of the heathen. It is a righteousness and a holiness that is born of this new truth that's contained in the Word of God. That only gets released through the Word of God into your life. Are you with me? And that truth is to be put on to affect our actions of our life in the correct spirit of doing things. Just like being in church don't save anybody. You go to church all your life. I have to use you an example, Pastor Morgan. Pastor Morgan and Ellen went to church all their life. They weren't saved. They're on their way to hell. Until they got saved, received Jesus into their life. You know, my aunt, 2 days before she died, and I had just gotten saved, and 2 days before she died, she was in the hospital, and we went and ministered to her. She got saved, and in 2 days, she was gone. And at her funeral, she had friends that came that she knew from the neighborhood, and they were church-going people. And they all came to the funeral, and at the funeral, after we did the service and all, I said to her friends, I said, well, it's so good to know. Her name was Mimi. I said, it's so good to know Mimi is in heaven. And they said, oh, honey, of course she's in heaven. She was such a good person. Sorry, honey, that don't save you. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. And an acceptance of his sacrifice into your life. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it's spotless, sinless blood of the Lamb. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. So going to church don't save you. But saved people go to church. Isn't that right? Therefore, acting right don't make you righteous. But a righteous person has the potential to do things right. Do things God's way, the right way. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. You know, just one more verse, and then I'm going to share three necessary things to do for consistent change in our life. First Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. Okay? It's foolishness to him. They're spiritually appraised. You know, the natural mind has been governed by the senses, what we call sense knowledge. Isn't that right? It's a world-ruled mind. It's one that came from the fruit tree in the Garden of Eden. Now, when God said to Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. And it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, of course, it wasn't the knowledge of good and evil because God was good and he already knew God. So the tree wasn't going to help him to know God. But it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which when you read it in the Hebrew, it means that it's knowing evil or discerning good and evil based on your senses and what seems right to you and what seems wrong to you. There's a lot of things to people that seems right to them, but according to God, it's wrong. So it's not about what seems right, what feels right, or discerning right and wrong based on your senses. because that's the natural mind. The natural mind could certainly say, well, this is right or this is wrong, and can come up with all kinds of things. And then Dr. Rich can say something's right, and Kathy could say, no, that's wrong. Why? Because our mind goes in different directions. We have different things that we like and don't like. And we have different standards on a worldly ruled mind. I had a lot of things in my life before getting saved that was obviously wrong. But to me, they were nothing but right. My whole standard of right and wrong changed when I was 12 years old. And I could say this is right, but somebody else would go, no, that was wrong. Well, we'd argue till the night is long. We'd argue, you know, no, this is right. No, that's wrong. But you never come to a conclusion. I'll do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. But that's the knowledge that comes as a result of eating of the fruit tree. And that's the natural man, world-ruled mind. It is the man governed only by his environment, his natural or animal instincts. And it's a result of the fallen Adamic nature that it talks about in Romans chapter 5, through one man's sin, right? And this man that is totally worldly ruled receives not the things of the Spirit of God. It means he doesn't receive it to himself. He doesn't accept the offer that is deliberately and readily given to him. He's not going to take him to himself, and he's not going to receive it. You know, how many times did you hear about Jesus before you got saved? And did you just say, yeah, that's what I want? Except for one person over here. I don't know anybody else in the world that's ever done that. You know, no, pretty much we've heard about Jesus, but it's like, no, I'm good, you know. I go to church, so that's good. I don't need that Jesus stuff. I go to church. Which makes you wonder, what are you doing in church? You know, it makes you wonder. You know. So that natural man is not going to readily receive what they hear because it's spiritually discerned. Okay? We're not going to take it to ourselves. Unable to understand it and does not receive spiritual truths because he doesn't possess the indwelling Spirit of God. A believer that walks in the same way, as a believer, you can walk in that same way. You're not renewed in your mind in a specific area, and you're still worldly ruled. And therefore, you have trouble taking hold of the Word of God. You know, you might be sitting there or maybe out on live stream, and you don't like the fact that I said, don't push that button on YouTube. Don't watch that video. You might not like that. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm okay with that. You know, we could tell you that, bad company corrupts good morals. No. I'm good. I'm okay. That's not going to affect me. See, that's just a worldly ruled mind that is not going to accept the things of God. Are you with me? See, and that's why we have to hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, because it's got to get through that natural way of thinking. It's even got to get through the natural way of interpreting certain things in the Bible, because we've been trained by the world. And it says it's foolishness, it's folly, it's absurd, it's senseless, foolhardy, and insanity, the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned, which is an emphatic. And it means to judge it, to examine it, or question it in order to pass a judicial sentence. You know, I knew a family, and they had a daughter, and their daughter would question everything about the Word of God. Well, they thought their daughter was very rebellious, and we'd say, what do you mean rebellious? They're asking questions. You need to be giving them answers. Now, if you don't know the answers, you need to find out the answers or bring them to somebody that has the answers. But you don't shut that down and go, you can't ask any questions. Of course you do. There's nothing wrong with questions. The only people that don't like questions are people that don't have answers. Well, unless you're on the left. No, never mind about that. But to discern something, It means to judge it, to examine it, question, in order to pass a judicial sentence. Examine it accurately or carefully, to separate and distinguish and discriminate between good and evil, which of course is God good and God evil. In the New Testament, it means to judge it, to form or to give an opinion after separating and considering the particulars of a case. So here's a case about healing from the Word of God. So let's take it all apart. Let's examine it. Let's look at all the particulars about it. Let's go to your questions about what you want to talk about this, and let's answer it all. Yep. The answers are right there. Why is it people don't have answers? You haven't found it yet. That doesn't mean I have all the answers. There's certain answers I haven't found yet. But I've learned a few of them in 43 years. Are you with me? Discerning is important. You know, Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, right? And Satan came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. He's given his angels charge over you to bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone, right? So Jesus, he heard that and he knew this is God's word. But he judged it because he knew the Holy Spirit wasn't speaking it. And that was the major difference. The Holy Spirit wasn't speaking it to him. So he was not obligated or obliged to obey. The senses are the teachers of the brain. The brain has absolutely no way of acquiring knowledge except through the senses. Sense knowledge can only tell you what's already happened. The senses told you. Mama told you, the iron's hot, don't touch it. But you didn't listen. You had to touch it. And when you touched it, your senses went, oh, that's hot. You should not have touched that. Well, it's too late. You already touched it. So hopefully you've learned from that one touch that you won't touch it again. So sense knowledge can only tell you what's already happened. Sense knowledge cannot tell you about the future. The sense knowledge does not show you things to come. Sense knowledge will only remind you about what's already happened and how we felt about it when it did happen. Yes. And that's your senses. And listen, we've all had crud happen in our lives. Now, we're not going to go around the room and go crud for crud with each of us. We've all had a bunch of crud happen in our life. Okay? But those senses that want to remind you about what's happened and remind you how you felt about it when it happened, those senses need to get restored. And that's part of the restoration of the soul, where your actual emotions and your feelings become restored and renewed. That you do, you know that it happened, but you don't feel it anymore. I could share with you every story about my whole life before I got saved and not feel a thing about it, because I am totally separated and delivered out from it. I know it happened, but I'm totally disconnected from it. Are you with me? Every time I looked at the new way I was dressing, at the new way I combed my hair, that I had cut my hair, it reminded me of the new man. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And it was part of training my senses to correctly respond in life. Some of you might need to go back to a haircut, if you get my drift, because you have forgotten and you need to go back. So let me end up with this. Three things necessary for consistent change to put on the new self. Not just become the new man, but to put on the new self. Three things that are necessary. Number one is desire based on conviction. Desire based on conviction. When I got saved, I had a conviction. I need to change. That was my conviction, okay? Just like Brother Seville knew, you can't fall asleep when you're reading the Bible. There was a conviction. So you've got a desire to change because of a conviction. So after the desire, number two is being committed to the conviction. To do as necessary, to do whatever it takes. And it would be whatever would be in your heart that you need to do. And you know, you're going to hear what it is you need to do when all you want to hear about is you. Let me say that again. You will hear what you need to do when all you want to hear about is you. Of course, your changing has nothing to do with anybody else. And you're wanting to hear about somebody else is not helping you.
Amen.
And you're wanting to change somebody else's life is not helping you. And trying to get their life to change without yours changing is not helping anybody.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Our change has nothing to do with the person sitting next to you. It has nothing to do with anybody else in the church. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with a business. It has nothing to do with your job. It has nothing to do with anything but you. And when you want to change, you will hear about you.
That's right.
Amen. And that's what you need to hear if you want to change. Because you need to be committed to the conviction. Say this with me. I am
my only concern
when it comes to growth.
Say
it again. I am
my only concern
when it comes to growth.
Nothing else
is my business. Amen.
Amen.
So that means that everything else needs to be mortified. All right. So number one, desire based on conviction. Number two is commitment to the conviction. Number three is a discipline to walk in the commitment. You know, when I first got saved, the Lord told me, every time the doors are open, I want you in church. He didn't say like for 5 months, 6 months, a year. He said, every time the doors are open, I want you in church. So what does that mean? It means you need to be disciplined to do it, and there are no excuses. No excuses. He told me I needed to get away from all of my friends. No excuses. Well, I don't feel like going to church. It's not working out today. No excuses. I would plan my day. I was in the automotive repair work. Cars don't always cooperate. So I would plan my day. And cars, you know, broken. And as you're working on it, something else breaks or whatever. And it might take longer than what you thought. So I would have to work faster, work harder, do what was necessary. Because there was no excuses. If there was church tonight, I have to be there. No excuses. Discipline, commitment, desire. Are you with me? No excuses. That's what discipline is. You cut out the excuses. Because your excuses are your obstacles. And that's slowing down your growth and your progress. My desire did not wane. My conviction did not change. My commitment did not falter. And my discipline did not weaken. Therefore, my change was imminent, substantial, and lasting. Because I worked to get my spirit and my soul in agreement to take godly control in my life. Amen. Have you ever had people tell you how spiritual they are? I'm a spiritual person. Let me tell you what true spirituality is. And you can write this down if you want to. True spirituality is the human spirit gaining the ascendancy over the reasoning faculties of the natural man and ruling the whole man, spirit, soul, and body by the word of God through the Holy Spirit. That is true spirituality. And I guarantee you that every one of those people that tell you they're spiritual has no idea about any of that. So let me say it to you again. True spirituality is the human spirit gaining the ascendancy over the reasoning faculties of the natural man and ruling the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. And it's by the word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And that is true spirituality. You want to be a spiritual person? Get your soul and your spirit in harmony and then walk by it. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, just bow your heads for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've imparted to us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you know where each and every one of us are at. And each and every one of us needs your influence and your help in these areas. You are the helper. So help us in these areas. Help us to do the things that we need to do. Direct us in the way that we should go. Lord, you said in your word that you will instruct us in the way we should go, for you counsel us with your eye on us. Lord, for each and every one of us, you know exactly where we are at. You know if we need to turn right, if we need to turn left, if we need to go straight, if we need to turn around and get away from where we're at and go in another direction. You know. So we're looking to you to instruct us in the way that we should go, so that we'd be on your path that leads to life. And we'll not be on the path of a world-ruled mind and the things that seem right to us. But we want to go in your right way, in the way of righteousness, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we're asking you to help us, asking you to counsel us, asking you to strengthen us so that we can walk in the directions that you declare for us. That as we get into the word of God, Lord, you said in your word that the word engrafted has the inherent ability to renew our soul, restore our minds, to mend our emotions, to strengthen our will. So we look to you, Lord, that as we get in the word, we do it by faith, knowing that your word will work within us. That we'll take it, we'll meditate on it, we'll ponder it, we'll think about it, and keep it on the inside of us. Now, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, you can today, because Jesus is the only way to salvation. He said that nobody can come to the Father except through me. It is not by good works. It is not by being a churchgoer. In fact, it's not, you're not kept out of heaven because of not going to church. None of that has anything to do with anything. It's all about our position with Jesus in our life. And if Jesus is Lord of our life and we've accepted Jesus as the Savior and the one that paid the price for our sin, then we can be washed clean of sin and heaven can become our home, that we can become a child of the Most High God. And it's very simple. The Word of God says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, then you would be saved. And it's that simple. He puts no other requirements on us in order to be saved because Jesus has already done it all. So if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, maybe on live stream, on social media, you can today. Wherever you may be, anybody in the sound of my voice. So let's just declare this together. And if you want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life, just declare these things with us. But I want you to speak them to God himself. Say, God in heaven, I know now that Jesus paid the price. It was for my sin that he suffered and died, that he shed his blood on that cross. So that I could be saved. You love me so much, you sacrificed your son in my place so that I wouldn't have to be sacrificed. Jesus, I thank you for loving me and dying for me. So today I declare it. Jesus, you are Lord. And God, I believe that you have raised him from the dead so that I could be justified. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart, and I thank you for saving me. That I am now a child of the Most High God. So that you are not only just God, but you are also my Father. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making me brand new. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if you have accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, just let me know. I'd like to give you a little book, or if you've come with somebody, let them know, and we'll get a little book for you to read so you can know about what's happened just in a moment of time that you were changed. Glory to God. If you're on live stream, on social media, if you have accepted Jesus as Lord of your life today, please contact us. Our information is on our website, newlifefamilyworship.net, and we would love to send you a little book and just to let you know about what has happened to you today. Your destiny was changed. Glory to God. You're on your way to heaven, and you're shouting victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Father. We praise you and magnify you. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and for your love for us. Lord God, I just thank you for what you have deposited into us today. Thank you, Lord God. Your word, Father, that does not return to you void. Your word that is full of your power and all that you're doing in our lives because of your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you. We hold to you. We hold to your word. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll walk by what your word declares, being that new creature that you've made us to be in Christ. We bless you, Lord, and praise you for that. Now, Father, we come before you now with our giving. And I thank you for the opportunity to bring our seed into the storehouse. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. You said that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. You said there's one that gives and yet increases all the more. How that happens, we don't know, but we know your word declares it. Yes. How that new birth took place, we don't know, but we know your word declares it. Yes. And we know that when it happened, we knew something happened. Yes. And in the same way, Father, when we sow our seed, we know by your word that there is harvest coming our way, that we'll reap according to that which we sow. That we don't just sow a what, but we sow a how. And our heart is in agreement with what we do. And we bless you and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.